Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Lilypod episode 153. The only three options in relationships. Jeff and Kathy Teichert, on a mission to help single adults intentionally heal from loss to create happy lives and healthy relationships with private and group coaching, courses, and written materials. Visit loveandlateryears.com to discover the many resources we offer. If you enjoy personal growth and enriching relationships, you are in the right place.
Welcome, Lilypod listeners. Today we want to talk about options we have in relationships. And these could be dating relationships where you're exclusive with someone. They could be a marriage relationship, or they could be relationship with a friend even. But there are three options that you have. And we're borrowing this from our friend, Dr. Greg Baer, who is the author of an international bestseller called Real Love. And that's a book that has been really important to me. And one that I've read several times and tried to internalize and, of course, am still working on. And also important to Kathy, both directly and indirectly.
Yeah, he was actually on our podcast. It was a great interview. I'll make sure I include that in the show notes so you can check that out if you haven't heard it. But this concept is actually very logical to me. I feel like it just makes sense.
Right. We have three options. If we're questioning any relationship. Number one, live with it and love it. Now that seems obvious. Live with it and love it. Why would we not want to love it? Well, there's lots of reasons people don't love certain things about their relationships, right? And so the premise here is that there's something about this person, something about the way they behave, the way they talk, you know, whatever it is, that we find a little bit annoying, irritating, problematic, not in line with our values, something like that.
And often that reaction, don't you think that has more to do with us than them even?
Oh, it generally does, yes. And so we have a choice to live with that thing and love it. And we'll come back to exactly how you might do that. But the second option is live with it and hate it. You could say, okay, I have this thing that bothers me about my partner, but I love my partner, I love my husband or wife or whatever, and so I'm going to just endure it. I'm going to live with it and hate it. And the third option is to leave it. This is so distasteful to me that I can't stand it, and I just simply will not live with it. I'm gone.
And that's when divorce happens, if it's a marriage, or breakups happen, if it's a dating relationship, or friendships break up as well. And of course, it's not quite that simple, because there's about a gazillion things about a person that you could love and another gazillion that you could hate.
Right.
And the leaving part, you have to weigh both.
Right. And there is a fourth option that many try to include, and this is not really an option, but it's one that we try to convince ourselves of, because it allows us to believe we can have it all, and that is live with it and change it. That's not an option. Why? Because the only person we get to control is ourselves. The only person we get to set goals for is ourselves. If we set a goal that involves our partner's behavior, that's what we call being controlling.
And they can choose to join us in that goal if it's something we agree on, but even they get to choose how much they commit to that.
Right. And if we're pushing to get them to be who we want them to be instead of who they are, we're not really behaving in a loving way, as Dr. Greg Bear has often and repeatedly taught through writing and speaking and other things.
About real love.
Right. So, Kathy, why isn't live with it and change it an option in the real world? Why is that not something I can try to do? I mean, isn't that more loving than trying to leave somebody?
No. But I do think the reason a lot of us go to it, I know I have before we got on the podcast, Jeff admitted he has. The reason we do it is because of the gazillion things we love about a person.
Right.
But there's just these things that are driving me nuts and I've got to have them change.
Right. Don't you know that this is what I dreamed of all the time I was growing up, that I would have a husband or a wife that would be this way? And now you're not being that for me. So I'm mad. I'm upset. I'm disappointed.
And even more often, I think it's really the little nuances about a person that then interact with who you are. And if you happen to be a person that's driven crazy by XYZ and they do an X, that X is what you want changed.
Right. Yeah. And I agree, Kathy. I was being facetious when I asked you that question. I think you know that, but
I will answer. I do think there's one word that is the reason why live with it and change it is not an option and why it's important for us to know that.
Let's hear it.
Agency.
That's right. And, you know, think about the statement, I love you, now change. Well, if I love you, then why do I need you to change? Because if I need you to change to be acceptable to me, then I really don't love you, right? And that's a difficult concept for me. It was a difficult concept for me in reading Greg Bear's book, Real Love. That was the hardest thing for me to come to terms with.
And this was after your first divorce, right? That you read it for the first time?
It was in the middle of it.
Okay.
But why can't I want her to talk to me and work out our problems instead of avoiding them? Well,
you can want it.
Am I not entitled to that because I'm her husband? Didn't she make vows to love me and all that? Well, yeah, maybe in theory that's all true, but at the end of the day, she is who she is and she's going to be who she's going to be. And I don't have any right to demand that she change, right? I can only live with it and love it. I can choose to figure out a way around the problem and choose to love her anyway. I can live with it and hate it. I can just endure it, which I did for a lot of years. I can leave it, which eventually we both kind of had to come to terms with. But I did try to live with it and change it. But that just ended up being live with it and hate it because I didn't get to change it. It wasn't within my power to change.
Well, and
even if I could somehow pressure her into doing things differently, am I really getting what I want in the end? You know, and I don't mean to use this example flippantly, but guys, how many of you have ever pressured your wife into sex? Did it turn out the way you really wanted it to, even if it happened? You know, it might have happened, and yet it was probably filled with resentment or something, and it's not the outcome you were hoping for.
And what Jeff's talking about is coercing.
Controlling and pressuring, manipulating, coercing.
Those are all kinds of things we're all, I think, really kind of conditioned as part of the human existence to do when we are wanting love and we don't believe we'll get it without those measures.
Right. Those are what we call, well, some of them, what Kathy, I think, just characterized, we call getting behaviors. It's the, I'm going to pressure somebody to get the love I want. And even if they do what you're pressuring them to do or manipulating them to do or whatever, it's temporarily validating maybe because you got them to do it. But is it really helpful? I mean, and this is one I've seen with a lot of women. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, women love apologies. They want you to say you're sorry. And sometimes they'll browbeat you into it and finally, okay, I'm sorry. Well, is it really the apology they wanted?
When it sounds like that, no.
and so, I mean, yeah, if you have to pressure, coerce, whatever, someone into an apology,
it doesn't mean as much.
It doesn't mean much because you know they only did it because they wanted you to get off their back about it. And
so how does that then relate with asking for what you want? Because you said, can't I want my wife to be faithful to her covenants and to talk to me? I do believe that we can want it.
Sure.
But then you went the next step and said, aren't I entitled to it?
And maybe I'm even entitled to it. Maybe it would be morally correct for her to open up and talk to me and solve problems with me. But if she doesn't want to do it, it is not, that doesn't mean it's morally correct for me to demand it or to, you know, manipulate it or to insist on it. So even if it's the right thing to do, I don't have the right to coerce somebody else to do what's right.
So it's kind of a tricky thing to be in a relationship with someone who affects your well-being and who gets to have their own choices independent of you completely and to figure out how to love them.
Right.
And so this isn't simple, but it is, it does make sense, doesn't it? And, you know,
well, the hardest part about it, Kathy, I think, and mm-hmm. I would love to hear your thoughts on this as well. For me, reading the book Real Love and thinking about Live With It and Love It, you know, I think my approach to marriage was that if she should do something, then I had the right to sort of demand that she do it. And the thing that you said earlier about I'm afraid, and fear is a big thing in this, I think. Perfect love casteth out fear. How does it do that? Well, I'm coming to that. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So love, again, is the opposite of fear. So if I don't think someone will love me in the way that I hope or the way that I want, and I think the only way I can get the love that I want is to make somebody give it to me, to pressure them, to coerce them, to guilt them into it, whatever. Well, I think it's hard to let go of that, of the getting behaviors or the protecting behaviors, the ones where we're closing someone out to protect ourselves from their demands. I think,
and we often refer to that as boundaries, and that's for another episode. That will be something we need to talk about separately, and we have talked about before, and we'll keep talking about. But
yeah, but I think as we're clinging to the getting behaviors, we may think in theory, yeah, agency is important. We need to give people their agency to honor it, but then if I do that, I'm going to be alone. I'm not going to have anybody meet my needs because if I don't demand it, if I don't pressure for it, whatever, it's just not going to come. Because why? Well, nobody ever does. Nobody ever has. Nobody's going to love me the way I want because the only way I've ever gotten anything I wanted was to demand it, to pressure for it.
But is that really true?
Well, I'm not saying it's really true, but I think, you know, Greg Bear talks about in his book, he talks about a guy that sees somebody walking past his house with a bushel of apples. And he thinks about how good they look. And he shouts out the window to him, boy, it would sure taste good for me to have some apples, you know. And then he says, boy, I can't imagine that you'd be so selfish as to not give me an apple or...
None of that feels very motivating.
He continues to say things like, boy, I haven't had anything to eat all day. And maybe now he's lying, but he's saying it because he wants what he wants. And so then the man turns up his driveway and walks up and, knocks on the door and says, hey, I picked these for you. Here they are. And he puts the whole bushel down on the doorstep and the guy gets the apples that he wanted. But what he wanted was it really... what he wanted was apples. You know, he's got the apples, but is he really going to be able to believe that the guy picked them for him? Now let's suppose the guy really did pick them for him. He thought it would be a neighborly thing to do to bring him some apples from his orchard. And
like, he didn't get to get surprised by that, if that were true, because he was busy trying to vie for it.
Yeah. And deep down, he thinks, well, the only reason this guy really gave these to me is I tricked him into it, or I manipulated him. And at the end of the day, the guy really was going to give him the apples. And he could have had the satisfaction of feeling, wow, you know, that was really nice of him to give me a gift. And yet he didn't get to experience it that way because he was so busy demanding it.
And I can think of so many ways that he could have asked so much more in a loving way, like, oh, those apples look so amazing. I can't believe you grew those. That's awesome. You know, right. And I'd love to try one.
Right.
Can I have one? You know, right. I can think of a lot of loving ways in which we can ask for what we want. And then when they reciprocate, we're grateful rather than the manipulative kind that when they then give you what you want, you're like, okay, I'm a good manipulator, but am I loved?
Right. I mean, and imagine that the giver says, after you've said, I'd love to try one of your apples sometime, the giver hands you the whole bushel and says, actually, I picked these for you. Have the whole bushel. Let me know how you like it. Wow, then that feels like, it feels good because somebody was thinking of me. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I'm not really a reality TV person, but one afternoon I was kind of bored and doing something mundane regarding work. And so I had this reality show on called Celebrity Wife Swap. Okay, and it's nothing sexual or anything like that, but it's where two celebrity women switch families for a week and see how they do. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of it is staged. It's kind of funny to see how the different family cultures collide. But anyway, this episode, I forget the first name of the woman, Wilson from Wilson Phillips, the pop band. And then
Tracy Gold
was the other celebrity, and the Miss Wilson, she has this very busy touring schedule and she's out of town a lot. And then Tracy Gold, of course, I think she's been acting only kind of intermittently, but she has this, at least from what you can tell on TV, this really strong relationship with her family. Anyway, long story short, at the end of this experience, they had them get together and talk about their experience. And Miss Wilson from Wilson Phillips, she's telling her husband how she wants to have the kind of relationship that Tracy Gold and her husband have. They seem so loving. You know, at the end of this experience, the husband brings her a big bouquet of flowers, and they seem so happy to see each other at the end of it. And she kind of craves that relationship. And she's kind of getting on her husband's case about how, I want that kind of relationship. Why don't you bring me flowers? And, you know, and why don't you come up and give me a hug? And Tracy Gold's husband says something that's actually kind of profound. He says, well, don't reprimand him into it. He's not going to want to hug you then. If you want a hug, just go up and give him a hug. And I think that there's a lot of times when we are tempted to pressure or browbeat someone into giving us the love we want. And why do we do that? Okay. I think when he says, don't reprimand him into it, there's a subtle truth underneath all that. And that is, it's easier to complain or get angry than it is to ask for the love we want. Why? Because if we give the person their agency, they might say no. They might say, I don't feel like loving you right now.
It's a risk that we take even once we're married, the same as we do when we're not married, to be vulnerable enough to ask.
Right. And if we start out saying, you should really do this or that for me more, and we kind of scold or lecture the other person or whatever manipulation techniques we use, if we do that, then, you know, we may save face. It may be like, well, then if he doesn't do it, he's a schmuck, you know, or if she doesn't do what I want, she's a schmuck. And we can put it that way to sort of grab the high ground, but is it really the high ground? Or is it more the high ground to honor agency and see what happens? And that's where I think real love is. It's when we can see that the other person gives it freely.
I love that, and I want to go one step further too. You know how at the beginning we talked about live with it and love it is the first option? And what we believe is the best option, as long as you're not in an abusive situation that's harming your spirit. In that case, you have to really evaluate leaving it. But the live with it and love it goes along with the concept of loving what is by Katie Byron. I don't know.
Byron Katie, sorry.
I always mix those around. But yes, Byron Katie, her big thing is love what is. And even she has this like magical way of, well, and she has this formula really in this process, and some of the, you might have heard of it. And if you haven't, you can look up The Work by Byron Katie online. And there's got a lot of information there, but she has this way of, you are responsible for how you feel about your life, about your circumstances, about everything that you are experiencing. And, you know, I actually recently went to a fireside with Jenny Oakes Baker, and she talked about when she was 22 and her mom got cancer and ultimately died a year later, and how she wanted her to get healed. And she wanted to have faith that she'd be healed. But she didn't know how faith went with God's will.
Right.
And I think she somehow intuitively knew God's will might be different than mine in this case. And she talked to her father, Elder Oakes, Dallin H. Oakes, about this concern, and he might have had kind of this intuitive sense of the same thing, because he replied something to the effect of, the only thing we can really have faith in is Jesus Christ himself. And as we come to trust that God's will is always in our best interest, we can line up what we're asking for in faith with that will. And that's hard truth. That's a hard truth, especially when you've got someone you love with a terminal illness.
Could even be yourself.
Yeah. So, but the reason why I'm saying this is that when we believe we are in God's hands, when we believe he always has our best interest in mind, then every little annoying thing, every frustration, every hurt, every painful situation becomes purposeful. There's reason in it. And so for me, there's a spiritual way in which to love what is, even when we don't love it like naturally.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a fine line, of course, between, say, putting up with abusive treatment and loving what is. You could say, I love it that my husband, you know, knocks me around every day after he gets home from work. Well, we're not talking about that.
Although, even with that situation, you could love it enough to realize, thank you for showing me that I deserve to get treated better. I'm leaving you.
Right.
And then love that you were confident enough to do that. And love that, you know, the Savior's healing atonement is there for you to move beyond it. I mean, there's still ways in which to love that path, but we wouldn't recommend staying in it.
Right. I mean, you could watch someone else trying to manipulate you to get their form of apples, whatever it is they need or want. You could sense that in the other person and still love them, still love who they are. And maybe you even find that in there's some kind of motivation that they want to be loved by you. They just don't exactly know how. And so I think there's a lot of ways to understand this, because we're living together as imperfect people. And I think that's, you know, that's a really important thing to remember, is we're all going to have these moments when somebody's going to hate what we do. But
And what don't we want them to give us grace? And I think the loving thing to do when you kind of hate something about your partner is learn how to love it. If it's right. something that can be loved and stayed with.
Yeah. In a healthy way. Like mm-hmm. if I sense that Kathy is, you know, trying to pressure or manipulate me to do something that to her would represent connection, then I can look at that and say, you know, I may not love the way she's doing this, but I kind of love the underlying intent.
Yes. And seeing good intent in your partner is huge, I think, in changing what you might be tempted to hate to something you love. And that kind of goes with our flips and flops factor, which we talk about in our Amazon bestseller, Intentional Courtship. And even here on this podcast, I know we have an episode on flips and flops. I'll include that in the show notes too, because I think it really relates here. Because the flip of a characteristic of, let's say, being timely is I always show up on time for you, right? The flop might be, I got to end on time, you know? And then there's other people who are chronically late, but that means they're probably going to be staying up late with you, you know, or right. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, there's going to be something that irritates you about your partner that they have a strength on the other side of that same characteristic you absolutely love. And if you can then merge them together and realize I'm taking all of it and loving it. Because that downside is worth the strength of it. And when you focus on the strength of it in yourself and in your partner, you're going to love so much more of who you are and who they are.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about this, and I don't think this is too personal for me to share, but Kathy is one of the neatest, cleanest people I know. And I was a little intimidated actually by her house when we first started dating because it was so clean. And I'm like, how does a single mother keep her house that clean? I don't understand it. You know, we got married. Now, there are moments when sometimes I get a little annoyed that she seems to be riding us all so hard about the house. And I don't want to say that she does that inordinately more than other people. I don't necessarily think that. I think it's maybe a sensitivity on my part, but be that as it may, however you want to look at that, I think sometimes about what if I got what I wanted? In other words, in the case of what I just described, what if she just decided to stop writing us all about the house? What if she decided, you know, this isn't that important, I'm not going to burden my family with it? Well, chances are things would decline a little bit.
Right. And it means I would also not be blessing my family with it. Because that flip-flop factor.
Not just because she stops, you know, writing everybody about it, and maybe that's not the right word, but reminding, whatever you want to use. It would not just be because she's doing that. It would also be because she's had to learn to care less about it to keep the rest of us happy. And so she starts, you know, not doing as much around the house to keep it neat and clean. And then things gradually decline. And would I want that? Would I want to live in a messier house? Well, no, I don't. I like living in a space that's generally neat and tidy. And so I look at, like Kathy talked about, flips and flops. Well, the flop side is that once in a while we have to hear some reminders about how things need to be kept clean.
Or we have to stay up doing dishes so that the next morning we wake up to a clean kitchen. So we've got the pros and the cons.
Right. And the pro is that we get to wake up to a clean kitchen or whatever. And so I think that's an important way to look at the live with it and love it. Do I get to...
Which we think is the best option.
Right.
And the live with it and hate it is the most miserable one.
Yeah, that's the worst option of all of them. Except for live with it and change it, which isn't an option.
Which is really just another form of live with it and hate it. And then make sure your partner knows you hate it.
It's like I'm living with it and I hate it, but I don't have the courage to do anything about it. And that is a...
Inside of me.
That is a dehumanizing way to live. And if you're living that way, it is your fault. I mean, I'm not saying the other person's not doing anything, but you're responsible for your own happiness in that way.
Which is why I love Byron Katie's Loving What Is sentiment. And I do think it applies here really well.
Right.
And the focusing on the flips rather than the flops in relationships.
Yeah, Kathy, you know, that reminds me, as we talk about applying loving what is to a relationship, I've told the story before, but my first mission companion, my trainer, was a good missionary and a good guy, but he had this habit of kind of nagging me all the time about various things. I got really sick of hearing, "Hey, Alda." He had an Australian accent. He was Australian. You know, I got really tired because I knew whenever he said that there was going to be some sort of correction or some sort of thing he wanted me to do different. And I kind of allowed that to eat at me. And you know what? I didn't even say anything about it. I just sort of stuffed it. And it got to the point that, you know, it almost didn't matter what he was saying. The sound of his voice was kind of like nails on a chalkboard to me. And after a while, everything about him bothered me. The way he ironed his shirt, the mole on the back of his neck, the way he mounted his bicycle when we were out working.
I remember you telling me about this.
And a lot of it was, okay, I was nurturing negative thoughts. I was living with it and hating it. And I didn't say anything because I knew that eventually I'd be able to leave it. We'd be transferred, you know, something would happen. And so I just sort of decided to grin and bear it until we were transferred. But we were together for 3 months or something like that. And for a lot of that time, I was inwardly resenting him. And there was a time later that I apologized to him for that. And I said, you know, I don't know if you ever sensed it, but I said, I didn't think it would do any good for me to say anything. And I now realize that was not a very mature approach for me to take with that. And he said, pig's ring, it wouldn't have done any good. I would have tried to, you know, be more gentle with the things I said. And, you know, if I had known things were bothering you that much, I would have tried to. And I, you know what, he's a good guy, and I know he would have. Of course, now I'm going to give myself some grace because I was 19 years old and kind of dumb then and didn't understand this. But I think the biggest point I want to make is living it with it and hating it is the worst option.
Really for both people.
Right. And a lot of it has to do with your own thoughts. And so you've got to own those. You've got to own your own thoughts that, okay, if the sound of his voice is like nails on a chalkboard to me, that's something that I have created in myself. Instead of just saying, oh, he's such a nag, you know, nobody could stand him. Well, I mean, he's currently been with the same woman for 8 or 9 years. You know, I mean, he's got people that love him. So apparently somebody found something good in him. And, you know, as I look back, he taught me a lot. He made my mission better. I mean, he was the right trainer for me for all kinds of reasons I could tell you. But
and that almost goes back to trusting that God is in the details and that he always does what's best for us, even if we don't like it.
Right.
So we might as well love it.
And this particular missionary, I mean, he was enthusiastic and he knew how to get in the door and teach discussions. And in our mission, sometimes people would go weeks without getting even one discussion. And I never had a time in my mission where I had less than 6 in a week. And my trainer was the reason for that.
Well, and I don't mean that fatalistically, like we just need to be resigned with whatever comes along. No, I think we're supposed to actively create our lives in harmony with our paths and, you know, with God's will and trying to line up with him and get his, you know, his feedback. Right. And yeah, he doesn't ask us to endure things forever. It's just certain times of our lives that we need to learn certain things by certain annoyances or whatever.
And it's too bad, I guess, that, you know, in retrospect now I can see that he taught me how to get in the door and teach discussions. And I had lots of discussions my whole mission. And I'm really grateful for that. I've seen missionaries that get really discouraged when they go for a month and never get in one door to teach a lesson.
I appreciate you brought that up because think about how many times in marriage or relationships that last a long time, when you take for granted the things that they bless you with and you don't really see it until hindsight.
Right. And in hindsight, I did see that. I saw, man, you know, I didn't know there were missionaries out there that hardly ever got to teach and maybe didn't have the right training. And I had the right training because I had the right trainer. And, you know, I let a little thing like the way he was kind of, you know, nagging a lot. In retrospect, that's a small thing, right? I mean, it's not something worth going home from your mission over or something like that. It was a relatively small annoyance that I allowed to become really big. And then I missed the really big thing that he gave me that blessed my whole mission after that. Yeah. And really my whole life.
So when we're in relationships, it's a gift to them and to us to gain more awareness of what we can appreciate and love about them.
Right.
So that's not just changing things we hate to something we could love somehow. I do think we do need to work on that, but also just having a bigger focus on what we love about them and how they bless us and being more appreciative.
And I think that is part of, you know, owning our own thoughts and saying, you know, I can focus on the things that bother me and let them get bigger. The law of attraction is whatever you focus on, you get more of. I think if you focus on somebody's good qualities, you're going to see more of that. If you focus on their bad qualities, you're probably going to get more of that.
Right. So that's it. We've got three options in relationships. Love it, live with it and love it. Best option. Live with it and hate it. Worst option, which is also live with it and try to change it, which we can't do.
Yeah, you'll just end up and live with it and hate it if you do that.
And leave it isn't the worst option. It's hard, but then sometimes it is necessary. So
take a good look at yourself before you decide on leave it and think, what could I change that might improve my experience in this relationship? And let leave it be the last resort, except for live with it and hate it. I don't think we should ever accept that that's what we're consigned to.
Yeah, I agree. And to help with the leave it part, if you are in a marriage and you're considering divorce and you're trying to figure out if that's the best path for you, we do have a podcast called The Divorce Decision. I'll include that in the show notes as well. And we just want to say and end this podcast with a very happy Valentine's week to anyone listening when this first releases. The day before this releases, we had a video come out on our YouTube channel called What is Love Anyway? Yes, we tackle that age-old question, the one that no one can answer.
But Howard Jones tried in the 1980s.
So go over to LilyTube and watch What is Love Anyway? And also our Lily letter this week is Love and Agency, which you can find on loveinlateryears.org. or in your email inbox if you're signed up for our Lily letter.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap, folks. And we want you to remember that anytime, especially Valentine's Day, is a great time for more love in your life. Thank you for showing up and listening.
For a customized roadmap to your desired destination, schedule a free 20-minute coaching consult at loveinlateryears.com. We are here to support you.